Would you help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us here at North Campus today? We're glad you're with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and we welcome you today. I especially want to welcome our Savannah campus today. You are finally in that new part of your building today, and I saw it Friday, and it is awesome, and we're excited about what God is doing through all of our campuses across Tennessee and Illinois and Ohio and wherever else they are that I even forget about, but they're out there, and we're excited about it. Would you get ready today? If you got your Bible with you, we've been making this confession together. Take your Bible, and if you don't, just pretend you got one. Hold your iPhone up. That'll work. All right? Let's say this together, will you? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe that confession is powerful and prepares us to receive what God's going to speak to us today. Would you take your Bibles today if you want to go to the book of Exodus? The second book of the Bible is where we're going to be in just a few minutes today. And so if you want to go ahead and turn there. Today we start a new series on becoming. And as I was thinking about after the first of the year and how that we're trying to get to our destiny and to reach in everything that God has, I thought, you know what? Life is about becoming. Life is about a process. And the moment we quit processing and becoming is the moment we start dying. And as I begin to think about that, I begin to read some scripture and begin to look in the Old Testament, and I begin to look at the children of Israel and how that they parallel those of us who are living in this day and age. In fact, the Word of God calls us Israel at times in the New Testament. And as I begin to look at that, I begin to think about it. When you look at it, let me just kind of set it up for a minute. The book of Genesis is, of course, the book of beginning. It's where God, in the first and second chapter, He creates the world, He creates mankind. In the third chapter, you find mankind, of course, messing up and giving the world away to Satan. And then over the next few chapters, you find a lot of things taking place, a lot of things happening. You got Noah in the ark and all those kind of things. But then you come in the 11th and the 12th chapter, and you find a guy named Abraham, or Abram at that point he's called. And God speaks to him, and God tells him some things. In fact, God makes a covenant, or He makes an agreement with Abraham and says, I want you to understand that I'm going to bless the entirety of the world, Abraham, through you. And God says, this is an everlasting covenant that I'm making with you. And so then the rest of the book of Genesis is actually God now beginning to fulfill that destiny. Abraham has a son whose name is Isaac. Isaac has a son whose name is Jacob, right? Jacob's name is changed later to Israel. Israel has sons, and out of those sons are the 12 tribes of Israel that come. And one of Jacob's son, or one of Israel's son, his name was Joseph. And we all probably remember a little bit about Joseph, that Joseph is sold by his brothers into slavery. He winds up in the land of Egypt. And as he is there, he winds up in prison. But because the Bible says that the hand of the Lord was upon him, he literally becomes the second in command to the king, or the Pharaoh of Egypt. The last verse, the last part of the 50th chapter of the book of Genesis tells us about the death of Joseph. Now remember, all of Genesis has been taking us somewhere. It's been telling us, here's what God's going to do. It covers about 2,300 or 2,400 years there, as God is telling us, this is what I'm going to do. These are the things I'm going to bring to pass. And I'm going to have a chosen people, and they're going to be Israel, and I'm going to do wonderful things through them. But what we find happening in the book of Exodus, in the first couple of chapters, the scripture says, and there arose a Pharaoh, or there came a king who did not know Joseph. And because of that, he looked at the blessings of God on the entirety of Joseph's family, upon the children of Israel, and he said, they are so blessed, we better do something with them. And so he put them in captivity, and they are serving in captivity literally for over 400 years. And as I begin to look at their life, and then God finally shows up, and that's where we're going to start today. And God brings them into a place of the wilderness, and then God brings them into the promised land. I begin to think about how that parallels the life of every one of us who live upon this earth, that we are either living in slavery and in bondage, or out in the wilderness somewhere, or that we've come to that place of living where God wants us to. So today I'm going to kind of give an overview. Next Sunday, here's the title of my sermon next Sunday. I don't want me to tell you the title of my sermon for next Sunday. The title of my sermon for next Sunday is The Walking Dead. So you will definitely want to come hear that one, all right? But today, I want to talk about from promise to possession, okay? From promise to possession. So would you look in the third chapter of the book of Exodus? This is where God shows up to a man named Moses. Now, Moses is a central character in all of this because Moses is an Israelite. But as a baby, he is taken into the household of Pharaoh. He is raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And for 40 years, he lives like an Egyptian, walks like an Egyptian. Just saying. Dresses like an Egyptian, whatever. He's an Egyptian. But if you know the story, he gets aggravated one day at an Egyptian soldier. He kills him, and then he has to go on the run for his life. So he spends the next 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, taking care of somebody else's sheep. And the third chapter is where we see God showing up and saying to him, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to know. And he begins to speak to him, the Bible says, out of a burning bush. Y'all need to give my clock some help up there, guys. He speaks to him out of a burning bush. And that burning bush, the scripture says, the bush started burning, but it did not burn up. Now, let me explain something to you. It is not unusual for there to be a bush burning in the desert. But the scripture said this bush was not consumed. So Moses turns aside to see it. God speaks to him. How many of you know if God starts talking, you're going to listen, right? And God says, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. And he does that. And verse 7 is where we're going to start today. And here's what the Lord said to him. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. All right? So here's where we're going to start today. I'm going to be showing you the different land that the children of Israel dwell in. The first one is the land of Egypt. Now, here's the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt is the land of lack. All right? How many of you have ever been in Egypt? No, you didn't hear me. I don't mean you went to Egypt. Let me ask that question again. How many of you ever been in the land of Egypt? You ever been in lack? You didn't have enough. It was, right? The word lack there just means the state of being without or not having enough. So let me ask you again, those of you watching, how many of you have ever been to Egypt? Would you just look at your neighbor, and if their hand's not up, just grab it and yank it for them. Right? Some of us went like this. Yes, Lord, that's me. All right? And you know what? Here's what I want to say to us. The sad truth is that I believe that there are a multitude of Christians who live in a land of lack. In fact, when you study this, these are the children of Israel. These people have the covenant with God, and yet they are dwelling in a land of lack. They are dwelling without. In fact, they are living in an oppressed place. How many of you know when you don't have enough of something, it oppresses you, right? That word oppression or oppress means that you feel crushed and that you're treated unfairly. Ever been there? I mean, have you ever been at that place where it's like the situations of life are just coming in on you? And it's in those moments that you know, you've worked hard this week and you walk home on Friday and you got your paycheck. And as you walk through the door, one of you looks at the other and says, I got some bad news. I know you got that paycheck today and you thought we were going to be able to put a little bit back. But the washer just died. And all of a sudden, you are in a land of lack. You are in Egypt all over again. Or maybe it's in your family situation, and it just seems like there's not enough love to go around. There's not enough kindness. It is just an oppressive place because of everything that's happening. The circumstances, it's like every time you feel like you're going to get ahead at work, something yanks the rug out from under you. And the circumstances begin to press in. Or maybe it's in your body. It's like that there's always somebody sick in your family. There's always somebody showing up at the emergency room. I mean, some of you could have a sweet. Y'all didn't shout on that, did you? You know, it's like, man, we go, yeah, hallelujah, we're going back. You talk about, you know, a place where they know your name. It's not Cheers. It's the ER. I mean, they just see you coming, go, come on right on in. We got you. Right? That's living in lack, people. That's living in a place that you're not having what you want. But here's what I want to tell you. Some of us, in fact, all of us have to get to this place. This is when God shows up. God shows up when we get desperate. As long as you keep putting up with it, saying, well, this is just the way it's going to be. I just guess, you know, que sera, sera. What will be, the future's not mine to see. Hallelujah, it's just the way. No. As long as you accept it, well, our family's always broke. Our family's always sick. Our family's always in a mess. Our kids are always raising Cain. Go with me. Watch the bouncing ball. You'll get lost. No. See, that's living in a place that God doesn't want you to. But you got to get desperate. In fact, the scripture says that God said, listen, my people are crying out to me. Now, I'm thinking, for 430 years you guys have been in slavery. Why did it take you so long to start crying out? Why in the world? Why do you keep accepting? I'm just going to talk to you. You ready? Why do you keep accepting your life being in a place of lack, being in a place of doing without, not having what God has promised you, which is a John 10:10 abundant life? You just keep going out. You keep living life, and it's always under problems, under difficulties, under the circumstances. Why is it that we don't start crying out and saying, Lord, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'm ready to get out of this mess. See, here's the deal. When you get desperate is when you realize that you don't have a way out. I can't dig out. The lawyer can't get me out. The doctor can't fix it. The education system can't touch it. There is nothing I've got to have God Almighty. And when you get to that point, things begin to happen. See, when you're living in a land of lack, you're a slave. Now, let me just talk to you a minute. Do you know that money can make you a slave? Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are, if we're the borrower, we are a slave to the lender. Wow, I just got quiet. If you live on credit cards, man, it's this house. I just talked to the campuses right now. You guys just listen to me. They're kind of looking squirrely out here. All right? If you owe everybody and six cats, you're a slave. You're a slave, right? What it means to be a slave is I have no rights. See, when that paycheck comes, it is already assigned. You can't do one thing with it. Y'all all right? I'm preaching better than you're listening. It's in that place where we're controlled by things. And so we're controlled by our debt. We're controlled by the circumstances. I mean, I'm just going to get ugly for a minute. Why do you think they put up these payday loan places? It's to enslave you. You can say free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. But if you are borrowing from you are not free. And so you're living in this place of lack. And God says, I don't want you there. I want to get you out of there. And so God sends the deliverer. His name is Moses. And Moses begins to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And they go into it. Now, here was God's deal. God's deal was, I'm going to take you immediately out of the place of lack, and I'm going to take you into the promised land. But how many of you know the story doesn't go quite that way? Right? The Bible says that they spent 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. Now, the wilderness, okay, if Egypt is a land of lack, the wilderness is a land of just enough. And I'll prove that to you if you go to the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. All right? The 16th chapter of the book of Exodus says this, beginning in verse 16. This is what the Lord had commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person. That's a measuring cup. For each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by their measuring cup, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Watch what it says. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. The land of just enough. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." Look at the next verse. However, right? However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. Hallelujah. You know what that makes? That makes a pastor just feel wonderful. You understand why? If they won't listen to Moses, no wonder they don't listen to me. Right? However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it in the morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. Bible doesn't cover anything up, does it? So here's another part I like. So Moses was angry with them. I'll wait. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as they needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. We're in that place of just enough. I got just enough. I'm not getting ahead. I got just enough. Now, here's what I want to tell you. For the people who aren't living in lack, I would say the majority of the rest of the body of Christ is living in a land of just enough. Most Christians I know are either in lack or just enough. Let me prove it to you because you're giving me that look. Think about how many times that somebody says, "How many of you need a miracle?" And when you do, 75-80% of the people in the building lift their hand on any given service. Why? Because we're in the land of just enough. If you were in the land of more than enough, you wouldn't have to have a miracle. The reason you have to have a miracle every day, the reason manna has to come from heaven every day, is because you don't have more than enough. In other words, you're living in a place where your needs are met. And I want to tell you, that is a great place to be. All right? I've been in the other place. You know, I've learned to live at times where I didn't have. I am thankful at those moments when God's met my needs. How many about you, right? I mean, I'm thankful that God has met my need. But it's all that it is a place of provision. It's a place that daily they go out and they gather all they need, and God now is He's just providing. I'm just living in that place of provision. I got enough to get through today. Ooh, hallelujah! I got enough provision today, but I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Right? And that's where, I'm sorry to say, that's where most Christians live. They live in this place of, we got enough. But you know what? The problem with that is we're never getting ahead. Because Moses said, now look, go out there, gather it together. But I want to tell you something. You can't keep it overnight because if you do, it's going to go bad. So what does that mean? That means I'm never getting ahead. How many Christians do I hear saying, man, Pastor, if we could just get ahead. If we could just get ahead, if we could just move in to that place where I've got enough, but I never have more than enough, right? That's a horrible place to be. How many of you have read in Scripture? It's really going to get better. Y'all are looking at me pretty intense. How many of you have read in Scripture where it says that you're going to sow and you're going to reap 30, 60, right? And 100-fold return. And I love people say, man, I'm praying for 100-fold return. Listen, I want to tell you, if most Christians got a 30-fold return, they think they died and gone to heaven. Because most of us are living in this place like the children of Israel. Do you know what the word manna means? Some of you do. The word manna means, what is it? Some of you have had that for dinner before. What is it? It's manna. It's manna. Can you imagine for 40 years eating what is it? Think about it. For 40 years, they're eating. What is it? I don't know, but God sent it. Right? I don't know about you. I grew up in one of those families that whatever was on the table, you ate. That's why now when my wife will fix something, whatever, and she'll say, why don't you try it? I go, I'm a 57-year-old man. I don't have to if I don't want to. Because all my growing up days, it didn't matter what they put on the table, you had to eat some of it, right? And so it's that mentality. See, it's in that place where we're look. Here's where we're at. We're looking for daily miracles. God, you got to show up, man. Lord, I thank you for yesterday, but man, if you don't show up today, I mean, the family's in a mess, God, and I know you got us through yesterday, and we didn't divorce, and nobody got hit in the head. But Lord, if you don't show up in the family today, it's going to be bad. It's going to be tough. And the Bible said every morning they go out and they gather as much as they needed. And again, it's wonderful to have the daily miracles. It's wonderful to receive what it is that God wants to bring to you. But the problem is with daily miracles is that we are always receiving. And you say, Pastor, why is it bad to be always receiving? Because if I'm always receiving, I can't be giving. People say, well, Pastor, the Bible says the poor you have with you always. Yeah, but I don't have to be one. Well, you should have shouted on that one. You don't have to be one. Yeah, the poor you have with you always, but you don't have to be one. Especially in our society, in our world, in our nation especially. You don't have to. You can, with the help of God and a little, old-fashioned, I'm going to say it, gumption, you can do something. You can get out of that place of just enough. God showed up again. Pastor, let me tell you the miracle God gave. Let me tell you. That's wonderful. And some of you have heard me say this. A while back, it's been a couple of years ago. And now I was praying one day, and the Lord said, when was the last time I did a miracle? And we have these conversations, and he asked me things. And he doesn't ask me because he doesn't know. How many of you found that to be true? If God asks you a question, it's not because he's looking for an answer. All right, he's trying to prod something. And I just went, man, Lord, I don't know. It's been a long time. I was praying, and I was in here walking around like I do. And I was praying, and I said, man, Lord, I need to have a miracle. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit will just quicken something to you. And it was like, why haven't you had a miracle? And I thought, I haven't needed one. Lord, I haven't needed one. And I got excited that it had been years since I had needed a miracle. Now, some of you that will mess with. I think you ought to have, miracles every day. No. That's why they're miracles, is because it's not an everyday occurrence. You've got to come to that place where you get out of the land of just enough, and let's jump all the way ahead to the book of Joshua, all right? The book of Joshua, I'm not going through Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and all. I'm going to get us to Joshua because that's when they finally now are getting ready to go into the land of promise. Moses gets them delivered. They dwell in the wilderness for 40 years. They wander around the same mountain for 40 years. Can you imagine, the first year you walk by and you go, that's where the donkey died, and you see the bones, and, 5 years later you still see the bones. I mean, wouldn't you, after 40 years, get tired of seeing where the donkey died? Right? I mean, come on. The Bible says for 40 years they went in a circle. And that's what the land of is. We're not lost. We're not going to hell. We haven't backslid. But we're just going through. We're just barely making it. We don't know how we're going to get ahead. And God says, wait a minute. My whole purpose for you is to get to the land of promise. See, because the promised land is the land of more than enough. I'm going to tell you, I have pulled up to the gas station with rolls of pennies to pay for my gas. It wasn't fun then, and I'm glad I don't have to do it now. Amen. If you're there, God bless you. Glad you got the pennies. Don't misunderstand what Pastor's saying. But there's a better place God has for you. Again, John 10:10, thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you would have life and that you would have it, life, more abundantly. That's what he's saying. I want you to get in that promised land. And so Moses dies, and so there's a new leader, Joshua, who's going to take him over in the promised land. And look what God says to him in verse number 5 of chapter 1. He says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I want that one. Amen. Come on. I will never leave you nor forsake you. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. As I was with your grandparents, as I was with your parents, as I was with those who came before you, I am going to be with you. Now, what is the land of promise? Well, verse 3 says, I'm going to give you every place that you put your foot, as I promised Moses. So here's what the promised land is. The promised land is you are given the power to possess. No, don't miss it. You're given the power to possess. There are some things in your life that God says, I want you to take authority for them. I want you to take control. Don't drive through your neighborhood and let the gangbangers run it. No, you didn't hear me. Well, we're afraid. I'm not saying go out there and, you know, pull an Uzi. You know, I'm not telling you to fight them the way they, but you need, every time you drive down those streets that you're a little afraid to drive on, you need to say, in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the blood of Jesus Christ, I take dominion over this area and over everything that the enemy would try to do to kill, to steal, and destroy. And I speak life, and I speak prosperity, and I speak health over this area. You got a problem in your family when everybody else ain't there that's giving you grief. You ought to walk through the house. You ought to get you some oil. You don't even have to go down to the Lifeway bookstore and buy some. Just go in the cabinet and get some Wesson oil or some Crisco. I don't care what you get. You just need to start anointing some things and saying, in the name of Jesus, this house is going to have peace. It's going to be blessed of God. Our kids are going to be anointed of God. We are going to see the glory of God upon this house. 1,000 may fall at my right hand, 10,000 at my left, but it shall not come nigh this dwelling place, because God is our source and He is our strength. Come on, you start doing that. See, because here's what the land of promise is. It's your place of destiny. See, that's what we talked about in the last series of getting there. It is your place of destiny. It's where God's been trying to get you to. And you're going to have to fight for it. Go read it. I don't have time to set this up. You're going to have to fight for it, I promise. When they went into the new land, they had to go, they had to do some battling. They had to go up against some giants. They had to come against some walled cities. But I'm going to tell you, it is a land that is flowing with milk and with honey, and God is wanting you to move into everything that He's destined for you. Verse 6 says this, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. See, the land of promise is your inheritance. It's mine. I have people sometimes say, well, don't you think you're a little cocky? And I don't mean to be arrogant. It's hard to fight against it. I understand that. All of us have a little bit of trouble with that. Some of us more than others. But I'm going to tell you, if my daddy says it's mine, no, you didn't hear me. If your daddy says it's yours, why are you letting somebody else rip it off? Why are you letting some, why are you letting, I just read on Wednesday night, we're talking about takeover. I just read the scripture where it says that the wicked are going to work to get money so that they can give it to the righteous. That's Bible, people. Why is it that we look at people who don't serve God, we look at people who don't live for God, and we envy them, and yet the scripture says that you and I are to be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks of us of the hope that's in us. In other words, you and I ought to be living at such a level of blessing Our families ought to be blessed. Listen, your kids don't have to backslide and spend 20 years in the pit of hell living like the devil and getting, you know, on all kind of stuff. And then we finally, I just want to testify and say, praise God. You know, my kid's been through rehab 18 times and we finally got him. No. Are you hearing me? Well, why don't we believe? I'm a little intense today. Why don't we believe that our kids don't have to ever backslide? That our children don't ever have to walk away from God, that they can be raised in a family where our neighbors and our coworkers look at our family and say, I want a family like that. I don't know what's different about them. I don't know what it is that's going on in their world, but I want to be like them. See, the inheritance means that it's not a place of insecurity. See, there's so many people who live so insecure. It's like some of you have experienced it. Some of you grew up in foster care, and you got moved. You didn't know how long you're going to be at this house, and all of a sudden you get moved. And we found through the years that finally somebody adopts that child. And yet for years, there is still this insecurity that somebody's going to take them away. But hear me. When you come into the kingdom of God, you don't have to be insecure anymore. The Bible says that you are now an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You are now in the place where God says, this is what I'm going to do for you. I am, you're not a foster child anymore. You are now an adopted son, an adopted daughter. And if you study the law, you'll find out that adopted children have more rights than natural born children. Ooh. You can disown one that's natural born, but you can't. Did you hear me? You can't disown that one's been adopted. My father's never going to disown me. I may walk away, but he's still going to be waiting for me to get out of the pig pen and come back home. Right? That's what the land of promise is. The land of promise is about prosperity and success. Look at verse 7 and 8. These are some of the most powerful scriptures in the world. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gives you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be, what? Look at that word, successful wherever you go. Did you hear that? Not just successful living for God. Not just successful in one area. The Bible says successful in everywhere you go. Verse 8, here's how you do it. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Look at that last sentence. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Come on. Do you know what? You study the entirety of Scripture. That is the only Scripture that tells you how to be successful. God says, here's how you're successful. Get the Word of God in you, speak the Word of God, and live the Word of God, and I will bring prosperity and success to your life. Man, Pastor, I just don't know. You know, you preach that, and people will think we're a prosperity church. No, my daddy's a prosperity God. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns the gold inside the hill. He owns the silver. He thinks he owns it all. He said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. My daddy's got so much gold, he paves his streets with it. Now, Lord, I'm just a beggar. Could you just spare a few pennies from heaven and just bless me a little bit? Could I have some more, please? No. When you get in the promised land, you are no longer dependent on manna, because now you're living in the place where you are able to bless others. See, it's not, don't miss this, it's not that we're getting all this so we can just get all this. Why do I want my family successful? Why do I want my kids to live for God? Why do I want to be blessed financially? It is so that I can in turn be a blessing to others.
I don't know if you notice it, but every time you have an offering bucket passed at any Love and Truth church, it says blessed to be a blessing. That's why we're getting blessed. In fact, let me say this to some of us. Some of us need to learn to set our standard of living, and everything above that needs to be for the kingdom. No, you didn't hear me. See, you started. Here's what I've learned. If you're making $30,000 a year, you'll live off $30,000 a year and credit cards. Right? If you're making $50,000 a year, you'll live off $50,000 a year and credit cards. If you make, some of you say, man, if I could ever make $100,000 a year, here's what you'll do. If you're not careful, you'll live off $100,000 a year and credit cards. Right? Why? Because we have never settled the issue that God settled. Here's what God says. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave. The whole premise of you moving in to the land of promise is so you can be like God. So you can have more than enough. So that people can look at your life and you can be a blessing to them. See, God looks at us and he says, I care so much about you that I'm not willing to leave you in the place that you're at. And so I'm going to send my only begotten son. And I love you so much that he's going to die for you. He's going to give heaven's best so that you can receive the gift of eternal life. And God says, I want my kids to reflect who I am. And so if God's a giver, then I've got to come to that place that I'm a giver. But I can't do that if I'm in a land of lack or in a land of just enough. I've got to get to the land of more than enough. Amen.